right, guys, welcome back. We are going to continue on with what we talked about last week. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses like to make the claim that they are Christians too, but last week we started to talk about all of the reasons why we know that's just not accurate. And so we're going to get into a little bit more with that. Most of the meat, I'll say, was in that previous episode. So if you want to check that out, I highly suggest it. I'll put a link up here. But we're also still going to talk about a few other doctrinal issues of why we would say that ultimately Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, despite claiming to be Christian, aren't. So let's get into it. All right, so if you guys remember from last week, part of what the point is in this is to realize just because someone claims to be something doesn't make them that thing. I could claim that I'm a part of the Broncos, one of the players for the Broncos, but that doesn't mean I'm a Bronco. I could be a fan, but the way you know someone actually is what they claim to be when it comes to religion is their beliefs. Do they actually line up with the beliefs of what that religion actually teaches? And so when we look at religion, we can really see that pretty much every religion, Christian and non-Christian, is divided up into certain doctrinal issues surrounding different things. Every religion is going to look at it and say, there's something that's wrong with the world, and there's some way that that needs to get fixed, talking about salvation and the fall, though they're not necessarily going to use those sort of terms. And so with that in mind, what we're looking at is we're seeing, when we look at Christianity, we see that Protestants, Catholics, and Orthodox can all agree on some very basic issues. Sin, salvation, nature of God, nature of man, the fall, and creation. All of those different things are things that really separate one religion from another. And we're not just talking about Christianity, we're talking about Buddhism and its views on those same doctrinal issues. They might not call it the fall, but they're going to look at it and say, there's a problem because you're not realizing your true self and your identity of actually being part of God. Or you might have with Hinduism that they are going to have a view of the nature of God, and the nature of God is that there's hundreds, maybe even millions of different gods. And that's what separates Hinduism from other religions, Shintoism or Buddhism or Islam. So in that same sort of way, we're using things that we would use to just evaluate and figure out where someone is, what religion they should be classified as, and just applying that same sort of thing when we're talking about Christianity. So when a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness claims to be Christian, we're just going to look at these doctrinal issues and say, this is why I don't think you are. And they might protest to that, but I think their reason for protesting can be easily thwarted by actually getting into these doctrinal issues, but also pointing out to them, just because you claim to be something doesn't make you that thing. And we can do the same thing with Mormons. Mormons would say, I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter Days. But when I think about what those words mean, being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter Days, I could look at that and say, well, by that understanding of what those words mean, well, then I'm LDS. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus, and I'm here during the Latter Days. So therefore, I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But I don't think we would talk with any Mormon who would look at that and say, yeah, you're LDS. And in that same sort of way, we could talk about Jehovah's Witnesses and how they look at it and they say, we are witnesses of Yahweh, of Jehovah, of God. And I would look at that and simply say, yeah, I am a member, or I'm not a member, I am a witness of Jehovah. So I'm a Jehovah's Witness. But they would look at that again and say, you disagree with us regarding these doctrinal issues. Mormons would say, I don't agree with the succession of the apostles and how the priesthood is passed on. So those sort of things show us that even though you might want to claim Christian, I think what a lot of times Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are doing is they're really trying to put themselves on our team so we don't seem to see them as someone we need to evangelize, but we'll want to listen to because, hey, they're Christians too. They must have something to share with us. And what we're doing is we're helping expose the fact that clearly that's not the way you see it. Because if you saw it that way, when I claim to be a Jehovah's Witness, or when I claim to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you wouldn't have a problem with it. But you probably do. Now, some of you who are watching this might be Jehovah. None of you are probably Jehovah. Although God probably does watch this in some weird way. That's an interesting question. But some of you might be Jehovah's Witnesses. Some of you might be actual members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and believe that you are LDS, Mormon, however we want to talk about that. And you might disagree with me. If you do, throw it in the comments. Let's talk about it. But I think at the very least, hopefully what this allows you to see is when you claim that you're Christian just like me and we have all of these things that we disagree with doctrinally, I can't get on board with that. Because as I talked about in the last video, when we break down all of these doctrinal issues, I would ultimately say I have more in common, doctrinally speaking, with a Muslim than I do with Mormons. And probably more with a Muslim than I do with Jehovah's Witnesses as well. So when then you're saying I'm a Christian just like me, I just can't get on board with that train. So we're going to talk about some other issues, and we're going to talk about some of the things that aren't quite as central of issues, at least maybe from a Christian perspective, but they are central issues and important issues to Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons regarding other issues, which again, I think, point out the distinctions and differences between Christians and Mormons and Christians and Jehovah's Witnesses. So another issue is the issue of sin. And this is one that we're probably a little bit more on board with. Part of what I want to break down isn't necessarily all just the differences, but just breaking down, here's the doctrinal views of each of these different views. So part of what I've been doing is I'm compiling a book to kind of break down every religion's views on these issues, on these doctrinal issues. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to have people who believe in those faiths to actually tell me, am I describing what you think clearly? So today, I'm going to take a little bit from what I've written down that I've had critiqued by Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons to say whether or not I'm saying what they believe, and I'm just going to read exactly what I wrote, that they agreed this establishes what they believe, because I want to make sure I get the wording right. These ones are a little bit more complicated and harder for me to express quite right, or the distinctions. So, sin in a Mormon's view, sin is the willful disobedience of God, or acting righteously when you know what to do, or acting unrighteously when you know what to do. All of mankind has committed sin. God cannot live with sin, and therefore sin breaks the fellowship of man with the Holy Ghost. So this is different in the sense that you and I, if we are saved by a Christian standpoint, when I sin, I don't cease to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But on a Mormon view, if I sin, that connection between me and the Holy Spirit is lost. Also, mankind will be punished for their individual sins, not the original sin of Adam and Eve. So we believe as Christians, at some level or another, there's what we call original sin, which means in some sense, you and I somehow are kind of responsible or are held accountable for the sin of Adam, and we have a sinful nature when we are born. But a Mormon viewpoint is going to look at it and say, we are born good, and you're only really responsible for the bad things that you do, though the sin that Adam and Eve committed does affect you in some way. continuing on, humans do live in a fallen state because of Adam and Eve's sins, but they are not held responsible for it. So we see some distinctions there. We're not completely on other ends of it when it comes to that, but ultimately I would say it still seems to show there's a difference in how we view things. For Jehovah's Witnesses, their view of sin is any action or feeling that goes against Jehovah's standards. We are born into sin because of the fall of Adam and Eve, so we're on the same page there. There are also sins of omission in failing to do what is right, which again, I think most Christians would also be on board with. All of mankind is sinful and therefore in need of a savior. Sin is seen sins are not seen as equal, but some sins are worse than others. So that, I don't think there's really a lot Jehovah's Witnesses and Christians really have in disagreement there. Another issue that we're going to get into is the fall. And this starts to be some that we have a bit more disagreement. So especially with Mormons, so I'll save that for later. We'll talk about Jehovah's Witnesses first. Because of the sins of Adam and Eve, all of mankind are born into original, are not born into original perfection and are separated from God. That again probably lines up with the Christian viewpoint. But with Jehovah or with Mormons, it's not the same. The fall, according to Mormons, Adam and Eve's sin did create a fallen world, but it was a necessary step for mankind to become what they were created to be. It was not only man sinning and partaking of the tree of good and evil, being tested on earth so they could achieve the highest level of heaven. So, according to the Mormon view, the fall isn't just a bad thing. In fact, it's actually a good thing. And it was even a necessary thing in order for us to become like God later, which is something we talked about last week. That ultimately, you and I are created, or really born, as spirit children of God, to become like God and to become gods ourselves. And the only way that that can be achieved is if we in some way gave into sin, and that through that sin we came to knowledge of good and evil. Where a Christian viewpoint is going to look at it and say it would have been better had mankind never sinned. But God knew. Well, I wouldn't say necessarily that it would have been better, but it's not a good thing that man sinned, and God is able to redeem it and bring more good out of it. That's how it's different. And so, but with the Mormon view, ultimately it was a good thing in and of itself. It's not that it was redeemed, it's that the fall itself was a good thing. This puts Mormons on a completely different level and viewpoint than Christians regarding this issue. This gets into also creation. So creation is something we kind of skipped over. Creation in a Mormon view is ultimately something that God didn't make out of nothing. So I'll read what I've written for my book. God is creator of mankind by making children with Heavenly Mother. God created the world in the same sense that he ordered the world, not that he created it out of nothing. So where the Christian viewpoint is ultimately that God, there was nothing. There was God and that's it. But under the Mormon viewpoint, and this goes back to our previous understanding of the nature of God, there were gods before God the Father, as we know him, who ultimately was his father, and there was some father before him and mother. And those things, somehow there was some level of matter and creation that was already there, but God just ordered it. So it's not creation out of nothing, where there is just God and nothing else, and God just makes things pop into existence. This God, you have to admit, is in some sense less powerful, because he's not able to make things appear out of nothing, or at least he didn't. And so it's a very, very different God, and it's a very, very different view of creation. God simply ordered these things, but other gods before him created other worlds and universes, and other gods after him, like those who will become gods who are on earth now. So you and I will become gods. We will create just like God did, where that sort of creation, being able to create worlds, is something that you and I will never have from a Christian worldview. That was something that God alone, that omnipotence, is something God alone has. And so therefore, God is not really omnipotent even within the Mormon viewpoint. God is powerful, and he's more powerful than you and I will ever be, because even when we become gods, he is also growing in power and his knowledge and everything else. We will never get to his level, but it's not that he is all powerful, because there are other gods before him that would actually be more powerful than him, or other gods that maybe are just his equals that have their own worlds that they have saved through a similar means that God has saved us. It's totally different. For Jehovah Witnesses, their view of creation is also rather different. Jehovah created everything, not in a literal six-day period. Now, this is something from a Christian viewpoint. Six-day creation, or a more extended period of time, that's up for debate. Some Christians would say it's a literal six-day creation. Some would say it's 6 days are representing different time periods and different amounts of time that God did create certain things, but it wasn't literally a six-day creation, which we're not going to get into the theology of that, but Jehovah's Witnesses are standstill in there is not a literal six-day period as often is interpreted from Genesis 1. Instead, creation is a longer process. The days representing long periods of time rather than literal 24 hours. So that is one that a Christian could hold that view. That actually is the view that I hold theologically, but it's not one that ultimately Christendom would say, this is where we stand. So it's not necessarily different, it's just Jehovah's Witnesses are putting a certain category to it. Finally, the last thing that we're going to get into is salvation. And this is, again, where I think knowing all of the background of what we've talked about, of their different views regarding creation, the nature of God, nature of man, sin, what the fall looks like, all of those different things, even though our views of salvation may even sound the same, we realize that the context around that makes it very, very different. And so, yes, we might have a similar view of salvation, but really we don't. When everything really we mean around the terms of salvation here are completely different, then we really don't have the same view of salvation. So, Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that deliverance from sin and death is possible through sacrifice, Christ. Salvation comes by faith in that sacrifice, by our works, living life according to God's will and baptism. Your actions prove that you have faith, but one cannot earn your salvation. Those who did not know God before dying will be given a chance to know him and accept him after the resurrection. Those who then accept him and do his will be able to live with God forever in paradise. It is possible to lose your salvation. So, most of the things that you might disagree with within that would probably be up for interpretation under the Christian viewpoint. Whether you can lose your salvation or not, Christians would disagree whether that's true or not. Whether or not you have to do good works isn't really up for debate. You are saved by faith, not by works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. And so it's very, very clear within Scripture that we are saved not by our own works by any means. And to some extent, they agree with that. But to some extent, you have to do good works. And this is where it does become tricky. And there's a little bit of a sense of you have to also look at not just what Jehovah's Witnesses say, but what their actions show. And when you see so many of the ways that Jehovah's Witnesses act when someone has lived in sin, or when someone has committed a sin, where oftentimes they're ostracized from the group, or the ways in which the Watchtower Society asked people to keep track of going and doing evangelism, where it does end up putting this huge weight on people, and you will hear countless stories, and the same really applies to Mormons, of how much pressure they felt like they had to perform and to do good works. Where their wanting to do good works was no longer rooted in God has saved me, it's not about my works, and therefore out of my joy for what God has done for me, I'm going to perform good works. It's more of they're hovering over me, and that's why I will perform good works. And so this is where ultimately to me, the practical sense for both Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, it feels much more, even though the language itself might be more of you are saved by faith, not by works, the practical application of that doesn't seem to be that way. And that's where, again, I would say one of the things that distinguishes, and probably the most important distinguishing factor between Christians and every other religion, is every religion is going to say there's a gap between you and God. And that gap can only be filled by you working your way back up to God. But Christianity is the one religion that looks at it and says, yes, there is a gap between you and God, and that keeps you separated from Him. And it's your sin and it's what you've done that separates you. But the way that you're able to redeem that relationship and fill that gap is not your works, but accepting what Christ, through His work on the cross, has done for you. And that's what distinguishes Christianity from other religions. So then when we see, turning to the Mormon view of salvation, mankind must accept the work of Christ on the cross and reach various levels of heaven by believing in Christ and doing good works, including temple ordinances. So again, there seems to be this level of you must perform good works. And we see that, again, practically really seem to play out quite a bit in just the ways that the Mormon church emphasizes temple works so much, or even getting approved to do temple works. You have to perform to a certain level before, even as a Mormon, you're allowed to even go into the temple. Yet the whole point of what Christ did on the cross, and the reason why when He died, the curtain between the Holy of Holies, where only the priest was allowed to go in to be where the Ark of the Covenant was, and where everyone else could be, was torn in two at Christ's death. To say it no longer has to do with your works, you no longer need an intercessor through a priest, or in their sense, looking at apostles or the priesthood. Now, that's separated. That is over. That separation is done. So you and I don't need, we can go directly to God. We don't have to perform good works. We don't have to do sacrifices in order to do this. But yet, the Mormon church says there's a level at which, in order to really have closeness and nearness to God, once again, you have to go back to the temple, which the temple before was giving these sacrifices. You had these sacrifices that you gave that was God's way of saying, for now, slaughtering this animal, as brutal as that seems, is a way that you're able to bring back relationship between you and God. And if you want to learn more about that, I think I can put up a link here of a Bible Project video that I think does a good job explaining that. Because it does seem weird. But that is the way it happens. And then Christ sacrifices that final. No longer does anything else have to happen. So you and I, when I mess up, I don't have to look at it and say, now I need to do penance. Now I need to do good works. I should probably fast. I probably shouldn't really even talk with God for a while until I've like prayed and fasted or done other things, and I definitely can't go to the temple. I don't have to do that anymore. But then the Mormon church brings in the temple again, as if I can't have the same fellowship with God when I'm up hiking in the mountains or even driving in my car as I could if I was at the temple. That connection, there's some level where once again, I'm having to earn it. And I don't have that connection with God unless I'm in the right place. And that doesn't seem to jive with what the whole point of the gospel was all about. And so then along with that note, one of the pieces of theology that's less central, it doesn't break down into those main doctrines that Mormons teach, is that you have to have this priestly authority, that only those who have authority can actually perform baptisms and things like that. And again, that seems to go against what Christianity teaches, what it's all about, that we have now one priest, the great high priest of Jesus Christ, who is of the Melchizedek priesthood and is forever the high priest in that priesthood. And so we don't need these other priests to intervene for us. And so this, again, separates Mormonism from the Christian viewpoint. But even if you wanted to accept that, you still have Orthodox and Catholics who, in some ways, do agree that that sort of priesthood needs to get passed on. And they would just simply say, it has been passed on. And that's why we have the Catholic and the Orthodox Church. So if you're a Mormon and you're looking at this and saying, I do feel like there's good grounding that that sort of priesthood is required, I would ask you, what is your evidence that it's ever ended? Outside of people doing things within that priesthood that maybe weren't right. Because I would agree with you, especially with the Catholic Church, there's some things that got off. But what about the Orthodox Church? All right, so there you go. Next time, if you're talking with a Mormon or Jehovah's Witnesses, next time you're talking with a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, I would encourage you to look through the main doctrines: sin, salvation, nature of God, nature of man, the fall, and creation, and say, do we agree on these issues? These are the issues that really distinguish every religion from one another. And if we don't, then it's a hard thing to swallow that we actually believe in the same religion, especially when you think in a lot of these issues, we agree with a Muslim view more than we do with others. If we have this much that we have disagreement doctrinally, just calling yourself a Christian, or even just saying, I follow Christ, because really, a Muslim is going to say, I follow Christ as well. They just don't believe he's God. And what are the things that we should use to say, this is what distinguishes someone from being a Christian and not being a Christian? It seems like these doctrines would be a good indicator of that. Hey guys, thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed the content. If you did, please give it a like and a subscribe. Also, think about supporting this ministry financially. Your support allows me to create more content in the future that's hopefully more of a resource to others and to yourself. If you want to do that, there's a link in the description that will take you to my Ratio Christi page, and you can set up a donation there. Thanks a lot.